go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our fifth and final installment of this incredibly interesting and I think quite important conversation with David Satter, one of our country's foremost Kremlinologists, I guess you'd say, certainly observer and raconteurs of what has been happening under various regimes in the former Soviet Union and now in Russia. I had on the program last week Roger Robinson, and we talked a bit about a play that the Russians might be making through Crimea to control perhaps as much as $1 trillion worth of oil and gas reserves in the Black Sea that otherwise would belong to Ukraine. Is that something you think is afoot, and should we be concerned about it strategically?
Well, they now that they've annexed Crimea, they will certainly try to take full advantage of the windfall that that control over that territory and over that part of the Black Sea will give them. That would not be surprising at all, but I doubt that that was the reason why Crimea was annexed. I think that the core motivation was to distract the attention of the Russian people from the lessons of the Euromaidan revolt, because that's a direct threat to them, to the leadership, I mean. In a country like Russia, where the levers of power are tightly controlled by the ruling group, only a mass spontaneous popular action like what took place in Ukraine can overthrow the regime. So they did what they've done reflexively in all conflicts, in all such situations, is they've moved to distract the attention of the population with the help of a war.
There is a considerable prospect that there may be further wars in the offing. David Satter, I know you're headed off to the Baltics shortly. What are your thoughts about the threats that Putin continues to make towards the Baltic states and, for that matter, to allied members of NATO in Eastern Europe as well?
My sense is that Russia is definitely trying to raise tensions and is determined, really, it's the North Korean strategy of extracting the maximum from the tension which they themselves inspire. But making threats is one thing. Acting militarily is something else. And whether they will make an attempt actually to start a war in the Baltic Republics will depend on the situation inside of Russia. They don't really gain much from starting a war in order to reclaim the Baltic Republics, which, in fact, they neither need nor particularly want. What they may find, however, is that the process of threatening creates tensions that lead to an accidental confrontation, or that the situation of the Russian leadership inside Russia becomes so unstable that they feel they have to do something in order to once again distract the population, in which case they could try something in the Baltic.
One of the things that we've been hearing about a lot, of course, is the Russians' nuclear buildup. It featured prominently in remarks that Donald Trump made in the Sunday debate with Hillary Clinton. Putin is not only amassing a large and very modern, very threatening nuclear force now, especially relative to the obsolescent deterrent that we have, but he is rather repeatedly talking up the use of such weapons, perhaps in tactical situations to de-escalate conflicts and the like. Should we take this as more than bluster?
We have to respond to any possibility. And the fact that that these remarks are being made, and that there's a kind of war psychology that's being encouraged in Russia itself, is something that we can't afford to ignore. However, it's important to bear in mind that Russia is still a weak country compared to the United States and NATO, and that the Russian leaders, whatever else you can say about them, are not suicidal. People who are that greedy and that corrupt are not going to want to sacrifice themselves in a nuclear holocaust. In that respect, I mean, we would really have something to worry about if this was an ideological enemy, for example, like Iran.
As opposed to simply a kleptocrat, in this case, I guess.
This is a collection of very degraded, corrupt thieves.
The demographic time bomb facing Russia is giving rise to considerable uncertainty about its future, really, between the Chinese and their ambitions and increasing access to Siberia, for example, and the Islamists in their Muslim population and its growth as well. How does Putin see these trends? Is it kind of a Louis the 15th après moi le déluge kind of view, or what?
No, I think that is what it is. I think that in general, the Putin leadership doesn't think in terms of the national interest and the future of the country and the well-being of the country. It thinks in terms of its own interest and its own well-being. If that is inconsistent with the national interest, that doesn't bother anyone. They can always interpret the national interest as serving their personal interests, as acts that are supposedly in the national interest, when indeed that's not what they are.
If you had the opportunity to speak directly to a Donald Trump or, for that matter, Hillary Clinton about the future direction of American policy at this particular moment in time, given Putin and his historic behavior and ambitions, what would your 60-second policy advice be?
Well, the core of it is to deal with Russia as it is, with open eyes, in full awareness of the type of regime that exists there, and to base all policy questions, all policy decisions, on that awareness, rather than on illusions about dealing with a country that's like us, that shares our values, that is concerned about the welfare of its own people. Those assumptions are false. And if we make our policy based on false assumptions, then the policy itself is going to be flawed.
And in fact, the real concern that I have, David Satter, is that it gives rise to miscalculations that can conduce to conflict of a kind that would be unimaginably horrific.
We need to know when to arm, when to make our intentions clear. And even in a question, for example, like arming the Ukrainians with defensive weapons that they can use to stop massed tank attacks, which were so deadly in 2015, and so it's or 2000 late 2014 in breaking through Ukrainian lines, we need to demonstrate our will to deter aggression and our awareness of aggression.
Thank you so much for your time today and for the incredible work you do at the Hudson Institute and at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, most especially for your newest book, The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship Under Yeltsin and Putin. I trust you will keep up this splendid work and come back to us soon. Hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.